I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Tonight, the White House revealing U.S. intelligence confirms Israel's claims about Hamas using hospitals and the tunnels beneath them as their base of operations, including Al-Shifa Hospital, where those premature babies were taken off incubators when they lost electricity. Tonight, a senior administration official now saying hundreds of Hamas fighters with communications and traps are inside those tunnels.
I can confirm for you that we have information that Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad use some hospitals in the Gaza Strip, including Al-Shifa, and tunnels underneath them to conceal and to support their military operations and to hold hostages.
Those are the words of White House spokesman John Kirby following that ABC report saying tonight the White House is confirming what we've all known. We've known that Hamas is hiding weapons, personnel, command centers, possibly hostages, in these tunnels, under the hospitals, under civilian population areas, anywhere they could, because they knew you won't hit this because you'll kill more civilians. Of course, the Palestinians were being used as human shields by Hamas. They did not care. Hamas did not care how many Palestinians died. It took until today. October 7 was the raid into Israel. And it took until today, November 15, for the White House to finally acknowledge, they do have a system of tunnels, and yes, they're hiding under civilian populations, hospitals, and schools. Now, I want to think that our intel knew this long ago, and the White House just would not acknowledge it. I mean, there's no way we could not have known. If you're going to trust Israeli intelligence at all. And then when you see a CNN reporter go along with them and he shows the tunnels, oh, okay, they've got tunnels under there. No stuff. I'll go with that word. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, November 15, 2023, the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, and we are stocked with so much today, you don't want to miss anything. But in case you miss anything, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up the audio and our video. Yes, when we're on the air, we're streaming video at LarryConnorsUSA, Twitter and Facebook, and at NewsTalk STL, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. A lot of you like to watch the video, and I'm glad you do. Appreciate having you. So finally, the White House admits, yeah, they've been hiding munitions, their command centers, possibly hostages in these tunnels. And we told you yesterday that last weekend we had 4 Israeli defense soldiers killed because they were trying to make their way through those tunnels and they were booby-trapped. And, of course, they ended up dying instantly. And then there was a report that came out that when the IDF was going into the main hospital in Gaza City, that they were killing anyone who spoke Arab. That included killing babies. Well, it's proven to be not true.
We are hearing from Reuters that is reporting that Israel, it says its forces are carrying out an operation against Hamas in Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital, and they are targeting people, including medical teams as well as Arab speakers. They are also saying that Israel is calling on all Hamas operatives in the hospital to surrender at this point.
Now, an apology from the BBC. BBC News, as it covered initial reports that Israeli forces has entered Gaza's main hospital, we said that medical teams and Arab speakers were being targeted. This was incorrect and misquoted a Reuters report.
They misquoted a Reuters report. Well, first, kudos to BBC for acknowledging the information was false, and then they shove it off, say it was Reuters. Reuters is supposed to be a trusted news organization, as is the Associated Press and United Press was around, and you got ABC, CBS, NBC, all these. But we don't know right now, and we've already heard and seen evidence already that some of the, quote, journalists for various networks were actually Hamas members or sympathizers and showing what Hamas wanted shown, that was dead Palestinians, to show the world how Israelis are killing people, innocent people. How the hell they would ever go with that story? Now, there are two things in news you learn early. You should. First, of course, you check all the facts. But then once you start doing the story, if you're in doubt at all, and even if you believe that it's true, you still go with two ways to protect yourself. One, an allegation, allegedly, supposedly. Two, an attribution. Reuters claims, and Reuters says, and BBC did do that, but I don't know if anyone really bothered to check Reuters. Do you trust your guy? I mean, and Reuters should be questioning the same thing. They were not killing babies. They were not killing everybody of Arab-speaking ability. It was a full lie, another Hamas lie, that quickly those who wanted to hear such a lie ran with it. One listener, by the way, suggested, you know, getting these terrorists out of these tunnels. We talked about previously about gas, but that would be obviously a threat to any hostages inside. And, of course, what gas masks are down there will be used by Hamas terrorists, not the hostages. And he said there was another option. It was still, of course, endanger any hostages being held. But rather than putting IDF forces at threat directly going in through those tunnels, which are booby-trapped, just start pumping water from the Mediterranean Sea into the tunnels. You will fill the tunnels in time, and you'll be forcing those rats out of their tunnels, or they'll die down there. One hand is kind of funny. The other hand, it's not a bad option. Chinese Premier Xi, of course, and President Biden holding their talks in San Francisco today.
These two leaders are expected to talk about several issues over the course of about 4 hours, everything from artificial intelligence to the wars in Ukraine and Gaza. This is their first meeting since the U.S. shot down a Chinese spy balloon back in February, which was just one in a string of incidents that strained an already tense relationship.
President Biden arrived to the city by the bay with Beijing top of mind and a goal to reestablish communications with China's military.
To get back on a normal course of corresponding, being able to pick up a phone and talk to one another if there's a crisis.
The Chinese went dark in August 2022 when then Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan. And this past February, after the U.S. shot down a Chinese spy balloon off the coast of South Carolina, there was no answer when the Secretary of Defense called his counterpart.
What we're trying to do is change the relationship for the better.
For the better. Well, if you're really serious about it, first of all, you should have shot down the damn balloon when it first approached the U.S., when it was still in international waters. And certainly, I should say, not shoot it down there, but once it crossed into our space off the Aleutian Islands, shot it down. And then, of course, the president should be the one calling Premier Xi directly. You don't have one of your underlings call one of his underlings. They're not going to answer the phone. Another thing, my co-producer Quentin said, you know, maybe Biden's going to try to tell Premier Xi today, say, look, we know you were upset with Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan, but you see, we got her kicked out of her office in the House building. She doesn't have her special office anymore. Does that count? And you know what they want to talk about? The thing that Biden and both Xi have said repeatedly, well, we're going to talk about clean energy. Yeah. So now China, for the first time, is putting out word, we will control all of our planet warning population. If you believe that, no, I know you don't believe that. They're not going to do anything more than what they need to. So what was accomplished in today's meeting is exactly what I've been reporting in a commentary throughout this day. San Francisco got cleaned up for the Chinese communist leader's visit. It got cleaned up. So they had the ability and the money to do it for San Francisco residents all this time. They didn't do it until a Chinese communist leader came. In other news, Louisiana Congressman Clay Higgins hammering FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Director Wray, last year, you might recall, sir, our exchange regarding the FBI's involvement on January 6th and prior. I'm happy to jog your memory to quote, according to the record, I ask you, did you have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters positioned inside the Capitol on January 6th prior to the doors being opened? You responded, I quote, again, I have to be very careful of what I say. To which I said, it should be a no. Can you not tell the American people no? We did not have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters positioned inside the Capitol on January 6th.
You know, Congressman Clay Higgins is very direct about that. When I ask you the question, you don't say, well, I can't discuss. All you had to do is say, no, we didn't. But, of course, if you say no and you did, you perjure yourself. And even though you're the FBI director, you will stand perjury charges, be convicted, and put your butt in jail. So Congressman Clay Higgins of Louisiana continues.
A year has passed. We sit here again a year later, we the people still do not have a definitive answer from you or anyone else in the Biden administration regarding the FBI presence and participation in the months leading up to the November election and in the weeks and days prior to January 6th and on January 6th here in D.C. We can't get a straight answer, although we have a tremendous amount of evidence harvested and reviewed over the course of the last year, which you will see.
So he's indicating to Ray, we've got the evidence, so you go ahead and sit here and you deny and you give us your little story and then you better hold on for dear life. So as Higgins then begins to bring up some of the pieces of evidence related to January 6th.
In September, Stephen D'Artano, formerly in charge of the FBI's field office in Washington, D.C., testified to the House Judiciary Committee that he was aware the FBI informants would attend the Stop the Steal rally thrown on January 6th. You confirmed that the FBI had confidential human sources at the Stop the Steal rally on January 6th here in D.C., sir?
Congressman, as we've discussed before, I'm not going to get into where we have or have not used confidential human sources. But what
okay,
I can
we'll
tell
move
you,
on.
You asked for a definitive
answer. We'll move
answer.
On. It's my time. You said no, you're not going to answer. That's cool. We're watching.
Mr. Chairman, may I answer the question?
Your moment will come. This is my time. Earlier this year, an FBI informant who is reported to have, quote, his quote, under oath, marched to the U.S. Capitol with fellow Proud Boys members on January 6th, close quote. He said he was communicating with his FBI handler while people were entering the U.S. Capitol. Can you confirm that the FBI had that sort of engagement with your own agents embedded within the crowd on January 6th?
If you are asking whether the violence at the Capitol on January 6th was part of some operation orchestrated by FBI sources and or agents, the answer is emphatically
you're saying
not.
No.
No.
You're saying no.
Not
okay.
Violence orchestrated
let's
by FBI on. Sources or agents.
If you're asking that, no. But there's a deeper question, and you know it, Christopher Wray. There are a lot of deeper questions. Now, I want to remind you again. If you listen to the Democrat January 6th committee, this was an insurrection on January 6th. I'm sorry I have to do it every time for those of you who know what I mean, but for those who are just joining us and not aware of it, I've stated on the day it was happening, it's a wrong thing. You might think it's patriotic. It's a wrong thing to do, to, quote, storm the Capitol. That phrase got echoed all around. I'll use the same phrase. But there were a lot of people that later walked in. No one is trying to hold them back, but there were those battling against police in some areas. And then others were just walking through like they were on a tour. And they were even being shown around. The shaman, the one with the horns on his head, he was being led around by three or four security agents. They didn't try to stop him. They were just showing him things. And then he led a prayer for peace. He did not get charged. Members of the Proud Boys got charged, sentenced 20 to 30 plus years. And FBI agents might have been inside of them, inciting them. There will be a lot more appeals along that line. And here's the other thing. Remember, Trump did have a rally down the street. And when he finished, he said, go to the Capitol, make your voices heard. Because that day they were going through the Electoral College count to determine that Biden had won. He didn't say go down there and wreck the building, assault police, or do anything like that. Basically said, just go down and make your voices heard. Well, of course, as far as the January 6th committee was concerned and all the footage they put out for the public, a lot of violence, fist fighting, and threats and shouts and people hurt, and then they always throw in and four police officers died as if they were killed. They were not killed. Two committed suicide days later. Oh, the trauma was so bad that you should not be serving as a Capitol police officer. My God, we've got men and women in war zones that face real threats on a constant basis, bullets whizzing at them. There were no bullets fired except for one. That was by a Capitol security guard, by the woman who was climbing through the window. And I've lost a good source in an interview because of that, because I told him, I said, she had every opportunity to stop. And he said, well, she served our country as an Air Force woman. I said, well, that's great. I appreciate that. But the guard could not let someone with a backpack inside that chamber, not knowing if they had explosives. And then there's this other issue that Congressman Clay Higgins brings up.
You know what a ghost vehicle is? Director of the FBI certainly should. You know what a ghost bus is?
A ghost bus?
Ghost bus.
I'm not sure I've used that term before.
Okay. Well, it's pretty common in law enforcement. It's a vehicle that's used for secret purposes. It's painted over. These two buses in the middle here, they were the first to arrive at Union Station on January 6th, 0500. I have all this evidence. I'm showing you a tip of this iceberg.
Mr. Chairman.
These two buses
painted
completely white. These buses are nefarious in nature and were filled with FBI informants dressed as Trump supporters. Deployed onto our Capitol on January 6th. Your day is coming, Mr. Wright.
They were trying to shut him down, saying your time's over, but the last words, your day is coming, Christopher Wray. And he knows what a ghost bus is. So how many FBI agents were inside those buses that came in that day, huh? Dressed as Trump supporters. In our second hour coming up, Secretary Mayorkas under fire. And still to come in this hour, Senate hearing that has threats. Going to whip your butt, basically. Oh, you want to hear that. And also coming up, an Iranian agent might be working at the highest levels of our U.S. Defense Department. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Planning a party with family, friends, maybe a business party? Cafe Napoli has four locations, and each has rooms to fit your needs. But a word to the wise, book early. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. Also get some Cafe Napoli gift cards, good for all locations, anytime. I'll see you at Cafe Napoli.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. This next story in part comes directly from the New York Post. The U.S. Defense Department suggesting that a Deputy Chief of Staff to Assistant Secretary of Defense, I know that's a long title, but let's just consider it this way, a high-ranking defense officer position in our government with the Special Ops Operation might be an Iranian agent, operating inside our Defense Department. Sean Fleetwood with the Federalist joining us. Sean, welcome aboard.
Good to be back. Thanks so much for having me.
So let's get a better understanding of, now, the title. People get lost in that, but basically we are talking about a high-ranking member inside our Defense Department, especially reference Special Ops Operations linked to Iran. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so her name is Ariane Tabataba, I believe is how you pronounce it, and she works in the Office for Special Ops, so we're talking like the highest levels of our government. You know, she has security clearance, access to all of this top secret information that the average American isn't privy to, and yet what you have here is essentially this trace that started originally back in September with Semaphore and another outlet called Iran International. Discovered that
you're
this
talking,
woman.
Excuse me 1 second. You're talking about September 4th this year.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. This outlet known as Semaphore and Iran International basically discovered that Tabatabai, she essentially worked on behalf of the Iranian government. She participated back in 2014. There was this thing called the Iran Experts Initiative, which was essentially connected to Iran's foreign ministry that sought to recruit academics and people of that caliber in order to cast the regime in a very favorable light, particularly their nuclear program. And the timing of this is important because this was launched in March of 2014, and it was around that same time that the Obama administration was starting negotiations with Iran regarding the nuclear program.
Right.
And so what the Semaphore report essentially is finding out, and in the New York Post as well, is that she was a part of this initiative, and in her capacity, she was going out you know, essentially smearing opponents of Iran's regime, smearing critics of the Iran's nuclear program, writing op-eds, doing this, these very same actions. So essentially she was doing work on behalf of Iran's foreign ministry and the Iranian government, and yet she's working at the highest levels of the U.S. Pentagon.
So she was basically trying to delegitimize Iran's opposition group. In other words, saying, no, they just want the nuclear capability to improve the lives of their people, not a nuclear bomb. And so her voices were added to others going to Obama's ear, and he bought the story, assuming he bought it or just said, to hell with it, I can do what I want.
Correct. And then they essentially would paint it in a way that wasn't so direct. They would be like, oh, well, we don't need regime change, right? Like, that would just be catastrophic. Like, you know, painting up this picture of, you know, it would be catastrophic if these opposition groups got in power instead of the dictator, Khomeini, who's running the government right now. And it's just important to note that, you know, the Pentagon was probed about this by Senate Republicans a couple weeks ago, and they came out and said, yeah, we did an internal review, and we determined that she can keep her security clearance. And of course, they offer no specifics of how that review was conducted or what that entailed.
And that included Senate Republicans. Did you not say that?
Correct. They were the ones who sent the letter to the Pentagon, and the Pentagon came back and were like, yeah, she can keep her security clearance.
Well, they raised the question, but the Pentagon said, yeah, she can keep her classification.
Correct, yeah.
But no clarification, no explanation, no validation of any type.
No, they provided no evidence showing that she is warranted or eligible to keep her security clearance. They didn't provide any details about how this review was conducted. You know, basically just defending her ability to keep a security clearance, despite all of this evidence coming out showing that she was, in fact, working essentially on behalf of Iran's government.
I know those of you watching our live stream, you're seeing I'm getting extremely visibly upset and gritting my teeth because my next concern is how many like her are in our National Defense Department and elsewhere at high levels of our government?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, you go back to the Obama years and a lot of those people who worked on the Iran deal and Iran foreign policy have carried over into the Biden administration. I believe his name is Robert Malley. He was suspended. His security clearance got suspended within the past couple months or so for allegedly mishandling classified information. But he's someone who's very much pro-Iranian. My colleague David Harsanyi has written at length about him and in some of his actions and the policies that he's advocated for in the past. But these are the types of people that are running our foreign policy regarding the Middle East. And what's even more stunning is it's not just this Tabatabai woman. I mean, you look at the Biden administration, I saw a report from yesterday. I haven't had a chance to look into it too much, but the Biden administration is looking to try and free up $10 billion for Iran. Meanwhile, you have Iranian-backed proxy terrorist organizations that are launching attacks and bombing against U.S. assets and troops in Syria and Iraq right now as we speak. We have Iranian-backed Hamas attacking Israel. They launched that horrific terrorist attack, killing over 1,400 people, including over 30 Americans. So essentially what you have here is the Biden administration essentially bankrolling this Iranian regime that is the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world and attacking U.S. troops and allies. It's just remarkable that this is even happening, and yet the legacy media is completely silent about it.
Well, of course, a report today is that the USS Thomas Hunter, a Burke-class destroyer, had to shoot down a drone sent from Yemen in the Red Sea because it was targeting to take out that ship and at least not take it out, at least kill or maim the sailors on board. They continue to come repeatedly, and Biden has been supposedly saying his word to them is, if you think you're going to take advantage of what happened on October 7th, I have one word, don't. Well, that red line is vanished.
Yeah, it's Obama all over again, and I just had a piece that was published yesterday, a pretty lengthy one that people can go feel free to check it out, just walking us through the Obama-Biden foreign policy, because what we're seeing right now is essentially Obama's third term. It's the same exact weak-kneed foreign policy that's being carried over after 4 years of international stability and peace into the Trump years. We're going right back to what we had under Obama. It's just on a lot worse scale because, you know, Joe Biden, as we all know, is in very much mental decline. He's not all there. And our adversaries see this. They see a weak president filled with an incompetent administration who is incapable of managing international issues on the world stage. And China's getting more ambitious. They're making more threats towards Taiwan, conducting more military exercises around Taiwan and the South China Sea. They just rammed a Philippine vessel who is trying to deliver supplies to some of their troops stationed somewhere in the South China Sea. So we have our enemies that are becoming so much more emboldened thanks to the Biden-Obama foreign policy agenda. They are literally crippling the liberal-led world order, and what's coming in to take its place is going to be a very dark time for us going forward.
You're listening to Sean Fleetwood with The Federalist, and of course today President Biden welcomed Premier Xi together, and they're going to have these extended talks, and I expect nothing to come out of them except maybe you guys are going to clean up your world, and China issued a statement today. We're going to do everything to start controlling pollution in our area. I don't believe it. And secondly, what else could they possibly accomplish? And that Xi will see him eye to eye and realize where this man at this point, and I feel for anyone suffering dementia and so forth, but should not be commander of this nation, but he sees this is your leader.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously we do sympathize with those kinds of people, but you're absolutely right. We cannot have at this point in time or any time a U.S. leader who is not all there. And, you know, when it comes to the U.S. relationship with China under Biden, it's really embarrassing because what you essentially have is the U.S. reaching out to China, not the other way around, right? So a couple months ago, Secretary Blinken, when he was meeting with his Chinese counterparts, the U.S. was essentially asking to reestablish military communications between the People's Liberation Army in China and the U.S. military. It wasn't China asking the United States right. to do that. It was us asking them. And that just completely shifts the dynamic in the relationship between our two countries.
And Biden has pressed that as well. He said, I just want a way that we can talk directly in case an issue comes up. What, like the balloon that you did nothing about?
Yeah, and it's just insane how that dynamic in this relationship is completely flipped on its head from what we had under Trump or even previous presidents. You essentially have the Biden White House and administration crawling and begging on their knees for China to kowtow and come to the table. It's not the other way around anymore, and that's a very dangerous precedent going forward.
All right, as we begin to wrap up, we're looking at how our enemies look at us with this situation. Our allies also had to start getting a little concerned, very concerned.
What's absolutely incredible is right after the election, you had Joe Biden, the Democrat Party, legacy media say, finally, the adults are back in charge. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have this top official sitting at the highest levels of the Pentagon who is essentially a mouthpiece for Iran. How can our allies trust us in that capacity now? How can they relay tactical information, right. critical top secret information with us if we have those kinds of people working at the highest levels of our government? Joe Biden and Obama, speaking specifically regarding Israel, they've been the most anti-Israel presidents since Israel was founded in the 1940s, without question. They've just completely sidelined them. They've essentially spit in their faces, whether it was the Iran nuclear deal, Obama sending pallets of cash to Iran, and now we have Biden freeing up billions of dollars for Iran as their proxies are attacking Israel and committing genocide against the Jewish people in Israel. It's just insane how this is where we are now. But as you pointed out and mentioned, what does this do for our allies? It just does not instill any confidence in our allies. We are in a very dangerous world right now, as I talked about earlier with China and their aggression, and now we see Russia and Ukraine. How can our allies rely on America if we're consistently undermining our own, you know, ability to lead on the world stage?
Excellent points. And again, someone very sympathetic, if not an agent of Iran, now working in our Defense Department. Thank you, Sean Fleetwood. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Larry. God bless.
You bet. God bless. Now, coming up, Bill Maher says, I've had it with Obama.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale, based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers has the hottest gift for the holidays. Flexible bracelets. Quality, beauty, starting at just $150. And of course you'll want to check for rings, pendants, maybe watches. I suggest you check the website each day for new items and specials. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Vincent's, my only jeweler.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light.
Roxanne. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You have to take in the whole truth. And you then have to admit nobody's hands are clean, that all of us are complicit to some degree.
I am struggling with people's moral equivalency still. I mean, Barack Obama, who has rarely disappointed me, did so this week. The attack was only a month ago. A more savage attack than we've ever seen in reverse. There's a big difference between collateral damage and what Hamas did. When they fire at Israel, it's a war. When Israel fires back, it's a war crime. Little crazy.
Little crazy. I'd say very crazy. That is Bill Maher, not known to be a big right conservative. Been more middle road conservative, and middle road, I should say, independent. If anything, leaning left and a little more left. But even he's had it with a Barack Obama attitude that, well, what happened with Hamas and Israel? We have dirty hands on both sides. Yes, Mr. Ex-President, that would include your hands are dirty. And Bill Maher pointing this out also in the sense that you're trying to find some way to equivocate and explain there's a, quote, reason, an explanation, some kind of excuse for Hamas to carry out what they did October 7. That's what he's doing. That's exactly what Obama is doing. Is it because he was so much into Iran, as we were discussing with my guest a moment ago, and still is, and Biden's just following his lead? And Obama really didn't have to even venture into that subject. He was in an event. I don't know if the question got asked or he just offered it. I could care less. The answer is the key. Everybody's got some dirty hands in this. Suggesting Israel is to blame for Hamas coming across the border October 7, slaughtering civilians. And here again, we have a total misunderstanding by the general public and those who follow in the thought process of Obama, Biden, and the rest, like the forces on Capitol Hill that represent the squad and all about Hamas. Now, they will tell you, well, we're really about PLO and bi-state, two-state solution. They're not. Yasser Arafat had been offered a two-state solution when he had control of the PLO. He turned it down. He didn't want it. Hamas has made it clear that this attack, with the barbaric actions they took, they intended to do that because they were hoping it would ignite the entire Arab world, Muslims everywhere, to turn on every Jew, every American, everyone who does not follow the Quran. We have a lot of Muslims in this country. They've come here legally, and they are here to basically make their lives and their families and teach, and they're in our hospitals, and they work among us. They have their belief, just like the Jews have theirs, Christians have theirs, atheists have theirs. It's just get along and do your thing. Not going to kill you simply because you disagree with me. In that part of the world, though, those who hate Israel so much, when they shout from the river to the sea, they're talking about exterminating an entire nation. Mass genocide. You're going to hear from Hamas, well, Israel has been putting us under mass genocide. Give me examples of that. You can't. There are none. Israel actually gave Palestinians Gaza years ago. And then Hamas got control. Now, they probably rigged whatever, quote, election they had, but they've been in control since, and they're not going to hold another election. And the Palestinian people, they don't want to live under it, but they don't have any options at this point. They're stuck there. They can't get out. They try to leave. They get shot in the back by Hamas. I was looking at a quote here earlier from a person who was inside the hospital where the IDF is now going in. And, of course, the original reports that came out, as you heard in the beginning of today's broadcast, we were being told, or at least Reuters was reporting, and the BBC echoed it. And I don't know if the BBC called Reuters and say, are you confident in this information? But at least they did cover their butt by saying Reuters reports. That's a way to do it, give an attribution. I do that every time I quote something to you from someone else here. If they did the work on it, they deserve the credit if it's right. I don't want to take their credit. I don't want to plagiarize it. I'm going to let you know the source. If they did it wrong, I want you to know the source because there's a thin line between credit and blame. I'm going to make sure that the line gets very firm at that point. But there is a video clip that has gone viral. An Al Jazeera reporter, Al Jazeera, Arab-based, terminating an interview quickly with a wounded Gaza resident at one of the hospitals, November 5. This was 10 days ago. The Jerusalem Post has dated the video clip to a Tuesday broadcast on the Qatari network. The Al Jazeera spokesman or interviewer was interviewing this wounded elderly man about how he got hurt. His answer, why is Hamas hiding among us civilians? Why don't they go to hell and hide there instead? Turn off the camera. They did. They were done. The Al Jazeera said, reporter, why, that's not what we were after. Shut it down. But that brief snippet of that elderly man wounded in the hospital, and they were looking for, obviously, to say, Israeli bombings attacking us got me wounded. And it may have. But his point was, Why is Hamas hiding among us civilians? Why don't they go to hell and hide there instead? And another indicator of this nation, its leadership, not from the past leadership of Obama, who might also be pulling the strings for Joe Biden, no doubt, was that March for Israel on the National Mall yesterday. An estimated 300,000, three times what they expected for a pro-Israeli gathering in U.S. It was the greatest pro-Israeli gathering in history. They had members of Congress there. Left-wing analyst, CNN analyst Van Jones, once an icon on the name, on the same progressive left that now opposes Israel, did speak, as did a conservative pastor, John Hagee. Most speakers were bipartisan, coming from all walks of life. There were politicians, the entire Democrat, Republican leadership of Congress. That included Chuck Schumer. He spoke. But the person that should have been there, that was personally, directly invited by the organizers, was Joe Biden. Last weekend, PLO enthusiast, pro-Hamas enthusiast, marched and shouted and demonstrated outside his home in Delaware. They have found that if we ring the bell loud enough and get loud enough, we will make Biden back down. And so this Israeli rally yesterday was a perfect opportunity for him to come forward and again confirm that we stand with Israel. That's what he told Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. But I told you that day, I said, you start watching. There will be daylight, a sliver, a little bit more, and he'll begin to slide and slide and slide away as the PLO enthusiast, Hamas supporters, start shouting at him. And in fact, now there's been a Facebook from supposedly by invitation only, you can get on it, involving one of those members, I believe it's Tlaib, that she's on there and preaching death to Jews as well. Are pretty close to it. All right, often congressional hearings, they can be boring, but not this one.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Pretends like he's self-made. What a clown. Fraud. Always has been. Always will be. Quit the tough guy act and these Senate hearings. You know where to find me. Any place, anytime, cowboy. Sir, this is a time, this is a place. If you want to run your mouth, we can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, stop it.
Is that your solution every problem?
No, no, sit down.
I love it. I love it. I know you may have already heard it, but I love it so much I wanted to make sure you had heard it and hear it again. Let me set the stage for you very quickly. You were listening, the one, by the way, trying to serve as a referee, Bernie Sanders. Stop it, stop it, stop it. This is the Senate. Oh, we're going to get back to it in a minute. But it all began because we had Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, Republican, and speaking to the witness, Teamsters President Sean O'Brien. I know Teamsters. I have a lot of Teamsters friends. A lot of them are tough. Some not so much, but they tend to act tough. That's fine. It goes back to the Hoffa days. Teamsters, you know, will whoop your butt. That's fine. I have no problem. Just like I tell them, a Marine can be your best friend or your worst enemy. You make the choice. But in this case, I have a lot of good Teamsters friends, and I respect them immensely. And some of them have been Marines. And then Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. He has not been a pretty boy and well established money-wise all of his life. He started a plumbing company in Oklahoma, driving one truck, adding more to it, working all kinds of hours. So he didn't just suddenly walk into wealth like some who are now currently in the administration and some who have left. So he was getting these emails from the last time Teamsters President Sean O'Brien was in front of him. And O'Brien didn't like the way he got talked to. Hey, I'm a Teamster. You don't talk to me like that. I'm the Teamsters president. Well, Mark Wayne Mullen, being from Oklahoma, he's an Okie. And I'm a Texan, but all I accept is he's an Okie. But he's got just the same kind of temperature you're going to find in Texas as well and elsewhere. And so he's reading some of these emails. So when you hear him start again, he's reading one of the emails or part of one that he got from Teamsters President Sean O'Brien. Let the bell ring.
Pretends like he's self-made. What a clown. Fraud. Always has been. Always will be. Quit the tough guy act in these Senate hearings. You know where to find me. Any place, any time, cowboy. Sir, this is a time, this is a place. If you want to run your mouth, we can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. No, hold, stop it.
Is that your Pardon. Solution, every poll?
No, no, sit down.
Sorry, you're a clown.
Sit down.
Look at you.
You know, you're a United States Senator. Sit
down. Active.
Oh, okay.
Sit down, please.
All right.
Can I respond, Mr.
Hold
Chairman?
It. Hold it. If we can, no, I have the mic. Said. I'm sorry.
This is
Hold
what
it.
He said.
You'll have your time.
Okay.
Can I respond?
Oh, no, you can't. This is a hearing. And God knows the American people have enough of contempt for Congress. Let's not make
like
it worse.
I don't like thugs and bullies.
You have
I don't like you because you
Hold
just
it.
Described yourself.
Hold it. You have the mic. Yeah. You have time.
All
make
right.
your statement.
Then let's do this. Because I did challenge you and I accepted your challenge. And you went quiet.
No, I didn't go quiet. I was.
No,
you challenged me to a cage match, acting like a 12-year-old schoolyard bully.
Excuse me. Hold it. No, excuse me.
I will say exactly.
Senator Mullen, I have the mic. You have questions on any economic issues, anything that said, go for it. We're not here to talk about physical abuse.
You brought.
We're not talking
in.
About. Of course,
and,
I did.
And let me show you his hearing because I want to expose this thug. To who he is. And
you're not pointing at me. That's disrespectful.
All right. I don't care about respecting you at all.
I don't respect you
respect.
At all.
So
all
right,
hold
let me,
it.
Let me,
hold
let me.
It. No.
Pound the gavel. Now, you know, each state gets two senators serving 6 years. House members get two. So senators always consider that they're a higher of the House. They have higher standards, more decorum, more civility than House members. But not so much yesterday, did they? But that was well worth it. You want to let your friends and family know about it, send it to them. By the way, one of my friends today shared a story with me. He said there was a kid that he knows that was going to go to school one day and wear a Biden T-shirt just to see what would happen because he had worn a Trump T-shirt that made him take it off. So he's going to wear a Biden T-shirt. He put on the Biden T-shirt to go to school. He ends up being punched in the chest 3 times, slapped across the face numerous times, kicked in the groin 4 or 5 times just because he had put on the Biden T-shirt to go to school. Oh, but there's another little part of the story. As I said, he had previously worn a Trump shirt or Let's Go Brandon cap and was abused at school. So he puts on the Biden shirt, said, let's see what happens here. He gets punched, he gets kicked in the groin, slapped around, cursed. And all of that took place before he left home.
I love it.
Hey, the second hour, South security is an issue. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.